Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, Merry Christmas. So happy to see all of you here. So thank you for also for joining us online. Man, I'm not sure there's ever been a year where it was just more important for us to just pause for a moment and just reflect on the story and the message of Christmas. In light of all that's gone on, in light of all the hopes and dreams of 2021, to me, the message of Christmas has never been more important. It's never been more powerful, and it's never been clearer. And so, very quickly this morning, what I want to do is I want to take us back to the night Jesus was born, and I simply want us to just remember the message of Christmas. If you've been around our church for the last few weeks, we've been in a series called Simply Christmas, where we've just been simply trying to get back to the basics of Christmas, because while everything else is changing this year, the one constant is Christmas. The constant is Jesus. The constant is the message that God unleashed on the world a little over 2,000 years ago on the other side of the planet. And if you've been around Wellspring a lot, you know I love to talk about the shepherds at Christmas. And the reason I love to talk about the shepherds at Christmas is because they are the group of people in the Christmas story that's the easiest for me to identify with. We have a lot of characters in the Christmas story. We have Mary, a young lady who is told that she is going to give birth to the Son of God. I cannot relate to that. There's Joseph, a young man who's told he has to raise the Son of God. There's wise men. There's these kings from the east who are studied, and they see signs, and they come in search of this king. They knew what was coming. And then there's the shepherds, just a group of guys out in their fields doing their jobs when all of a sudden an angel appears and gives them news, gives them a message that changes their life. And it's the message that that angel brought to the shepherds that is still changing lives 2,000 years later. If you consider yourself a Christian today, it's that message that's changed your life. If you're here today or online and you don't consider yourself a Christian, man, thank you so much for coming. In fact, we created Wellspring to be a place for people to come and make a decision about God, to kind of kick the tires of faith, to kind of see if this God thing was worth believing in. And if that's you today, you're surrounded by people who were exactly in the same place you were. And it's the message we're about to talk about that changed their life. It's the message that changed mine. And it's this message of Christmas that I think, despite our circumstances, can bring peace and hope into a year that's been anything but. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to just take us back to that night. Take us to those shepherds. Take us to that moment out in their field when the angel appears. And I want us to look at the message the angel brings, because it is that message that I believe can give us hope and sustain us and propel us into what God has planned for 2021 and beyond. We get this message from a man named Luke. Luke is one of the writers of one of the four biographies you have of Jesus' life. Luke was an early Christian. Luke was a doctor by trade, but he became a historian. So he writes one of the biographies we have of Jesus, and he also writes the book of Acts, which is a history of the early church. And he's the one who tells us about these shepherds. Part of me thinks it's because he himself had not been an eyewitness. He had not been a participant. He was not one of the 12 disciples. He was late to the party. He was experiencing it from secondhand, just like the shepherds were, and just like we are. And so he tells us the story. Here's how he starts it. He says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. They were guarding their flocks of sheep. They were just doing their job. And then suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. They were minding their own business, and out of nowhere, everything changed. Can you relate? And then the first words spoken by the angel are so comforting to me. The first words the angel speaks, don't be afraid. Our Heavenly Father brought words of comfort to to his people at Christmas. And I think that matters for us today. Again, as we come to the close of one year, the beginning of another, things are still uncertain. We're not sure what's next. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father says, hey, don't be afraid. Don't worry. You don't know the future, but I do. You don't know what's coming, I do. And it's going to be good because I'll be with you. So he tells the shepherds, don't be afraid. And then he unleashes a message on them that has been changing the world for over 2,000 years. Here's what he says. He says, don't be afraid because I bring good news. Now, we all know what good news means. We put that in our own context. You know, good news, I got the job. Good news, it's a girl. Good news, she said yes. We hear good news and we just think, oh, something nice happened. And that makes perfect sense if that's what we would do. But here's what the shepherds heard. Because the Greek word that Luke uses there to record the words of the angels, the Greek word for good news is a really fun word to say. It's the euangelion. That's the word, euangelion. And it's not any old good news. It's not any normal good news. The euangelion was actually a military term. It was a civic term. It was a governmental term. And the euangelion was the official declaration that the war was over and that your side had won. Because you got to think about it. Thousands of years ago, nations were constantly at war with each other. Kings and emperors wanted to expand their kingdoms and their empires. And these little towns, these little villages would have to send off their soldiers, their sons, their fathers, their brothers, their husbands, send them off to battle. And they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have a way to keep in touch. And so they would wait with bated breath for news of the battle, news of the war. Because if they won the war, it meant life got to go on as it was, maybe even better. But if they lost the war, it meant they may never see their family again. It meant that their town would fall under the rule of a foreign kingdom, which could mean subjugation. It could mean new customs. It could mean new traditions. It could mean slavery. So war was a really big deal. And whenever they would see off in the distance a herald coming with news of the war, they knew that he could either be bringing good news or he could be bringing bad news. Good news, we've won, the war is over. Bad news, we've lost, and a new king is coming to take control. And the euangelion, what the angel just announced, was that good news, that official proclamation that the war is over and we've won. We don't have to worry anymore. And the angel says this good news should bring great joy. Well, of course it brings great joy. We feel joyful when we win. We feel joyful when we no longer have to have fear about defeat. It's a joy-inducing emotion. The shepherds, as they were hearing this, would have felt joy because they're hearing these angels saying, hey, the war is over. And in their minds, they were at war with the Roman government. See, the nation of Israel at the time existed as a country occupied by the Romans. And they desperately wanted their freedom. And so when the shepherds hear good news, the war is over. Of course, they had great joy because they thought they were going to overthrow Rome and they were going to get their country back. But then the angel said something no one expected. The angel said something you never talk about in terms of war. He said this good news is going to bring great joy to all people. And the shepherds had to stop for a minute. Now, wait a minute, angel. Okay, the war's over. Heard that part. That's good. Great joy for us, that's good. But how is it good for all people? Because it seems like the Romans are going to be pretty upset when we overthrow them. Who's ever heard of a war ending and everybody being happy? How can that happen? When the war ends, there's winners and there's losers. The winners are happy, the losers are sad. And the angel says, well, I'm not done yet. And the angel adds these words. He says, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. The angel's saying, you guys don't quite get it. The war I'm announcing that's over is unlike anything you've ever imagined. It's bigger. It's broader. And God himself had to bring it to an end, which is why he sent his son, Jesus. But what's this war? How do we experience the joy? And how's it for all people? Well, Jesus himself actually answers that question the best. Because one day, about 30 to 32 years later, a religious leader starts asking Jesus the same question. Hey, Jesus, you're talking about all this stuff like it's good news for everybody. You're talking about this like everybody's invited. You're talking about this like everybody can have new life. I don't get it. How is this good for everyone? And Jesus says, what's maybe the most famous statement he ever makes. And he begins by saying, well, it's because God loves us. God loves me. God loves you. In fact, God loves the world. Here's what he says. He says, for this is how much God loved the world. He loved him so much that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. See, the war that the angels announced was over. And the war Jesus came to win was not a war amongst people. It was not a war of nations. It was not a war of countries. It was not a war of regions. It was not a war of territories. It was the war of good versus evil. It was the war of life versus death. And Jesus came to win the war once for all time. And the reason he had to come to win the war is because we didn't realize it, but we were born at war. Not with ourselves, but with our God. See, I was born with a problem, and you were born with a problem. We're all born with a problem. We were born pre-wired to distrust God. We were born pre-programmed to believe that he was out to get us. Pre-programmed to want to go our own way and do our own thing. Pre-programmed to love sin. Now, sin is just simply anything that God does not want us to do. And the reason God labels things sins is because they are harmful. Sin is destructive. Anything God's ever called a sin, he's trying to protect us from harming ourselves. And we know this. Whether we label it sin or not, we all have guilt, we all have shame, we all have regrets in our life. We all look back on moments and think, what was I thinking? Why did I do that? Why did I make that choice? And the answer is sin. You were born a sinner. I was born a sinner. We were all born sinners. And we naturally err towards sin and selfishness and doing what we think is best. And it's destructive. But there's actually something even worse than sin's destructiveness, and it's the fact that sin disconnected us from our Heavenly Father. Because remember, I said the war is between good and evil. Well, God's good. And the only thing he can do with evil is destroy it. And I'm born a sinner, and you're born a sinner. We're all born sinners. So that means the only thing God could do with us is destroy us. Because it's a war. Until Christmas night. Because on Christmas night, the angel announced good news. The war is over. And the war was over because God had chosen to end the war himself by sending his son to earth, by sending his son to live a perfect, sinless life. You never once step outside of what God wants for him, not one time, to be absolutely perfect. To launch a 3-year ministry where he taught the world, what I offer is for everyone. And at the end of that 3 years, he's handed over to the Roman government. He's sentenced to death. And on a Friday afternoon, he's nailed to a cross and he dies. And on the cross, he says these words, "It is finished." And what was finished was not his life. What was finished was the war. He ended it. Because the punishment that I deserved and you deserved and we all deserved for our sin, Jesus took it in our place. Once. For all time. So war is over. No more fighting. Because on Sunday morning, maybe you know the story, we believe he came back to life. And we don't mean his ideas lived on. We don't mean his spirit is in us. We mean he physically, literally came back to life and walked out of the tomb, thus defeating sin and death once for all time, to prove that his good news could be trusted, that the war really was over. And for all of us who understand this truth, what does that produce? Great joy. Great joy that I can have a relationship with my Heavenly Father, not based on anything I do, but based on what his Son did for me. Great joy that my sins can be forgiven. Great joy that my life can find hope and purpose and meaning, not just in me, but in what he has planned for me. Great joy in knowing, no matter what I do, no matter how far I go, he can raise the dead, so he can still use me. That's good news. It brings great joy. To who? All people. See, it's not just for us. It's not just for me. It's not just for you. It's for every person you've ever laid eyes on. Every person you've ever had a fight with. Every person you've ever struggled with. This good news can bring great joy to them, just like it's brought to us. See, the message of Christmas is that we no longer have to fight. We don't have to fight for purpose. We don't have to fight for meaning. We don't have to fight for value. We don't have to fight for hope. We don't have to fight for certainty. We don't have to fight. Because our gracious Heavenly Father has given all those things to us. When he sent his Son to end the battle, to set us free so that we can find forgiveness for our sins and freedom in him, he declared, you no longer have to fight. So this Christmas, that's not going to look the same as other Christmases. May we be strengthened. May we be heartened. May we find joy in the message that has never changed. That God loved us so much, he sent his Son. That if we believe in him, we can have new life. And that new life is available for everyone we know. So this Christmas, my challenge to me and to you and to all of us is when we get distracted, when we maybe get disappointed, when we maybe don't feel the spirit of Christmas as we have in years past, may we remember this simple, eternal, unchanging message. Good news. The war is over. Great joy. We've won. All people. Everyone we know is invited. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And God, we just thank you for these six simple words. Good news. Great joy. All people. Father, may we be reminded today the war is over. May we find joy in the fact that in you we've won. And may we live our lives in a way that everyone we know feels drawn in to the good news that's changed our life. We love you. We thank you for your Son. And we thank you for this celebration of this perfect gift. So in your Son's name we pray.